mean, you've been putting in work for so long.
Putting a lot of work.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Putting in Work, episode 97 of the Interview Podcast on the 8-Bit Collective, powered by Audio Technica. I'm your host, John O'Peck, and this week we have Josh Beams on the podcast, the old mate Beamsy. I've known this guy since he was, 10, 11 years old, and he's recently become a huge success in the world of Instagram and landscape photography. Beamsy's story is kind of crazy because it started off like he didn't have a background in photography and just kind of discovered a love for nature and capturing these moments, whether it was lightning storms or beautiful sunsets, and over time just built up more and more skills in the area, getting better equipment over time. And you can really just see over his like social media accounts, as being a friend of his, a progression in his love and interest in this art form. And it's got to the point now where he's a full-time photographer after a previous career in retail, and now he's shooting weddings, he does real estate contracting, and he's had his work featured by Qantas and Jetstar in the Herald Sun, being printed in Nikon's My Nikon Life. He's done work for Phillip Island Nature Parks, he's attended events with Microsoft, he's doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and it all started with an iPhone photo that he took down in Warrnambool, where I grew up and worked at the newspaper for many years. And one of the reasons that I wanted to get Beamsy on the podcast was a couple of years ago, I was at a wedding. My best mate in high school, Smallsy, shout out to Smalls, but Beamsy was telling me about some of these photos and his experiences and hiding away from the rain and looking over, seeing like a wallaby in the bushes next to him as he was waiting for the storm to pass. And that story really captured my attention, and it made me realize that for every amazing landscape or scenic environmental photo you see, there's a story behind it. And an experience that only the photographer knows about. We just see the photo at the end of it. And it was really cool to talk to Beamsy in this conversation here, this interview, and hear some of those stories behind his most viral and well-known photos. So if you're a fan of his, you'll get to hear some of that coming up now. And if you're not aware of Beamsy, well, you're going to find out a lot about the experience of getting your head around camera gear and the whole world of photography from an outsider, which is what he was at one point. And I think that you're really going to learn a lot. So without further ado, here's Josh Beams. Enjoy the show. Thanks for joining me in the studio, Beamsy. Pretty good to have you. You're my first guest in the space.
Am I?
We've known each other for many, many, many years. Look at you now.
Grown up, longer hair.
Grown up. So I've been trying to get you on this podcast for a long time, but you've run out of excuses.
I don't have any more excuses.
You've run out of
my last good excuse was
exclusive events to be invited it's good to pin you down. So why don't you start off by explaining to our listeners what you do, and I guess like the way that you would tell someone if you were meeting them at a party or something.
So I am a stripper. I'm a landscape photographer, and I also do property and weddings as well, and some social media stuff, sort of Instagram, and that's pretty much what I've been doing the last 2 years, but the last 6 months is probably where I've sort of decided the direction I want to go, and
you're just fully committed to it.
Yeah, it's sort of one of those things that you wake up and you only think about that.
That's cool.
Yeah. You never get that.
Yeah.
You never get to have that. I don't know. Well, I haven't had that feeling yet where it's just like, that's exactly what I'm doing. And then, probably a year ago, I reckon. Yeah, sort of just being like, all right, this is exactly what I'm doing. I'd love to do it full time. And yeah, recently I took it on full time. It's been good. Been incredible.
That's awesome.
Living the dream.
To be able to do something like that full time is just, I always admire when someone can pull that off because it's so hard. And you've kind of, you're what, 30 now?
Yeah, 30.
And you've had a lot of different jobs and places you've been, and different, retail and
retail. Yeah, like from bottle shop, you know, for years to retail, like clothing. So been around people a lot. I guess that's sort of like, with like weddings, for example, it's good to be able to interact with people, and retail and working alcohol and, and all that with people all the time. It's pressure. And I love working under pressure. Yeah, I think that's actually why I got into weddings as well as landscape stuff.
Yeah. And the interesting thing I think for you is that correct me if I'm wrong, but you probably weren't always creative focused. Like in high school, I don't know if you did art and photography, anything like that. Nah. And then you kind of just...
I did photography at school, but I didn't do well. Yeah. It's one of those things that... I think it's because it's structured to a certain way.
Yeah.
And with... I don't know, that I see with other creative people, like when there's structure around it, you can't break out and be what you want to be.
Yeah.
You're tied to these strings that... I guess some people can sort of let go of once they've finished a course or whatever, but I don't know. For me, it doesn't work like that. Yeah, I need to find my own way with something.
And so, like, when I was working at the newspaper, there was a couple times along the way where things were starting to get bigger and more serious when you'd get a bit of recognition for a photo you took, but did it actually start with that lightning bolt photo that we printed in the paper that you just took on your iPhone?
It's so good. I couldn't believe that was nuts. That was crazy.
So what's that? Let's tell that story.
Back in 2000, I was like 2012, was it? Or 11?
Sounds about right.
Something about then. Yeah, I was just taking photos on my phone, as everyone does.
During a lightning storm.
Yeah, during a lightning storm. And all around that time, yeah. So I was taking photos and... Yeah, I managed to get a shot of two lightning bolts coming down just off of, it's called Cannon Hill in Warrnambool, in my hometown. Yeah, and I was like, you know, shit, this is pretty cool. Like, I'm going to post this. So I put it on Facebook and, you know, 2012, Facebook was pretty, there wasn't much going on there. Yeah. And yeah, I put it up and it went nuts. Like, it went really well. A lot of engagement and stuff on it, which was really cool. And from that point, I sort of was like, I enjoy taking photos, and obviously it's nice to get recognition for something that, you know, especially when it's something that you don't even understand what it is. It just sort of, it just sort of becomes something. Yeah. And then you guys took it in the stand and printed it and, you know, it's a buzz.
Yeah.
It's just like, and because you know, it's like you find money on the street. It's like you don't expect it to come across and it happens. And so that was really cool. And that was pretty much, like I said, that's the turn of the key, I think.
Yeah.
And then from that point, you know, I was just flat out on my phone taking photos and just, I don't know, just trying new things. And I'd never looked at any other photographers or anything because it wasn't what I was into. It was sort of just like, at the time I was at the gym and that was all I was really doing. And then I guess I got another lightning shot off the breakwater, posted that, and then a few more sort of just scenic shots and just around town. And yeah, a lot of people said you should get it, you know, you should get a camera.
Mm.
You should get a proper camera. Proper camera. Your phone. Because people are like, you're taking that on your phone. I'm like, I didn't understand that it was that big of a deal. Because I thought it's just photo. Like, I didn't really understand.
Which is funny now.
Photo on your phone.
Because like now the cameras on your phone are like so good.
So good, man. Like, it's crazy. And it was like an iPhone 4. Yeah. I think it was. Or maybe 3G or whatever it is.
Yeah.
3S. Anyway, that was where it rolled. And then I went into, I don't know, like Harvey Norman and brought a GoPro. And I was like, I'm going to get in the water. Because I actually around that time, I got Instagram. And, you know, just followed all my friends and posted random photos or whatever. Didn't think much of it. It's just like Facebook. Yeah, so I got a GoPro and then I started taking photos like in the ocean because with the ocean, no one's around taking photos. So I was in there just like, you know, this is really cool. I'd love to get a proper camera and, you know, one day I'd love to get some money and get a, you know, proper camera and took some shots, put them on Instagram. I had a couple of people like buy prints and I was like, they asked. They were like, we'd like to buy this.
From
like,
a GoPro.
Yeah, from a GoPro. And I was just like, what? I'm like, really? Like, you serious? And then, a couple of people bought prints and I went to like just a local printer. I had no idea what I was asking for and...
You're like, oh, there's money in this.
There's money in this. It was nothing. Yeah, it was weird. Actually, I found settings in the GoPro 4 that were like night settings. I was sort of thinking about it. I'm like, oh, well, I'll try and take some night shots with the GoPro. Like, because I don't know, like, about quality, you know. Anyway, so I got the GoPro. I went to the Woolston Bridge, which is this bridge in Warrnambool.
Like a heritage listed kind of bridge. Yeah.
It's this white bridge with these little red knobs on them. But anyway, so I went there late at night and I just set up my GoPro just messing around, like had it linked to my phone taking photos and just trying to get some stars in it and I don't know, whatever else. Didn't really know what I was doing. And I got a photo of like the Milky Way vaguely in the shot over the bridge. And I was like, shit, you know, that's cool. Like, I didn't know you could see the Milky Way like that with a camera.
Yeah.
And because I wasn't really looking at any other photos. And any other photo that I saw that was blown at like crazy stars, I'd be like, it's not real. We don't see that.
Yeah.
But then on the GoPro, I was like, hang on, you can see more, you know, you can see these the detail in the stars and that, yeah, more than what I could in my eyes. And anyway, so I woke up in the morning, I posted it on Facebook, and that was actually one, that was probably the turning point where I was like, I actually want to do this for a living. Like, I love to be able to do this for a living. That went kind of nuts. It went over 1,000 likes just on my Facebook page, which is like, blew me away. I was like, what the hell is going on? That's so cool. And then I sort of was like, well, I want to put more time into Instagram, because that, I reckon that's where it's all going, because everyone's posting photos on Instagram. And so I just pretty much mostly posted on Instagram from that point. You know, hashtag, and then just just doing that.
So when you took that photo, did you at that point understand about like exposure and like the aperture settings? Like when did you start to kind of learn about those
grasp things
and how it actually works and you know, the focal points and all that kind of stuff?
What happened was, it was coming toward the end of that year where I posted that photo, and I was like, I want to get a proper camera. And mum and dad were like, what do you want for this year for Christmas? 2015 or 16, no, 2015 I think it was. I'm like, oh, I want to, you know, I'd love a camera. So like, look, we'll give you some money, put it towards a camera. And I'm like, oh yeah, that'd be awesome. And then around the same time, I saw my cousin post on Facebook, he's going to sell a camera. And it was like, sort of what I was looking for. Like a DSLR, you know, a proper camera, you could put lenses on it. And I was like, all right, didn't know what I was doing. So I went and grabbed that, went to his house, and I was just like, man, I want to buy camera off you. And he's like, all right, done. So yeah, deal was done. So I had a camera, no idea how to use it. I had it on auto for like 2 months. It was scary. It was like 50 buttons on it compared to one iPhone push button. So I spent, after not being scared with it, I spent the next like 6 months probably of like really having a crack at it and learning like exposure and ISO, shutter speed, and aperture, and yeah, like depth of field and focus and like all that. Like there's so much to it. There's so much to it. To go back and learn it, it's just a big thing to learn. Like it's a lot to learn, but you learn as you go.
Yeah.
So I would just try little things and it wouldn't work. And I'm like, well, how the hell can I fix that? So things would be blurry or too dark or... Yeah.
So was it like YouTube tutorials? Was it like...
Yeah, it was pretty much...
Blogs and stuff?
Yeah, I guess, well, YouTube's... Everyone learns from YouTube. Mm. Like... So yeah, I'd be like, my photo's too dark. How can I make it brighter? You know, basic searches.
Yeah.
And then I found different guys that, you know, show you sort of different techniques and how to get it right in camera. Because in camera is the most important. You can put it in a program afterwards and play with it, but to get it right in camera, it's all there. So I spent that year just with I had a kit lens with it. I think it was an 18-200 or something like that. And yeah, I spent the year just shooting, you know, wide landscape to like zoomed into things and then doing night shots. And yeah, and then there was one night actually I was out shooting Astro and I was at the Flume just in the Lady Bay and had the camera pointed out over the ocean. And I looked in the back of the, like after the, you know, 30 seconds shutter come back on, I looked in the back of the LCD and there's all this purple and green in the sky. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And then like I jumped on my phone and had a Google and it was the Aurora Australis. So I was like, what? So I went through and like I just tried to get a pano of it. I don't know what I was doing. I was just trying to fire off shots, just trying to get as much of this, you know, this color as I could. Went home and I was, you know, pumped as, jumped on the computer. The first half of the shots were just blurry because I mustn't have had it focused right. But anyway, I nailed it toward the end and I had, it was all focused and stitched it together and it was this big aurora over the ocean. I was just like I'd never, I was like, that's just Norway that gets that. That isn't, that's not down here. Like, what the hell? Yeah, so there's these green and purple beams of light. And then that kind of really opened my eyes to like, I've lived here all my life. Like, and... no one's told me about this. I've never seen this. So it sort of opened my eyes to look at things differently from that point.
That's really cool. Because I've seen in just like your posts and stuff, like your appreciation for nature growing as you've become a better photographer as which is really cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was only just talking about it yesterday to my girlfriend. Like just, it's amazing how a camera can get you places. As in like, I don't know, I want to go take photos of, I don't know, like a storm. And I wouldn't be in this situation probably, you know, chasing this storm if I didn't have a camera. I'd probably be further away looking at it. But yeah, the camera's been a good tool to sort of push me into the environment and actually really appreciate it. And And at one point, I brought a macro lens. You know, those really like your lens you can zoom right up close to. Yeah, I had that for like 6 months, and I was taking pictures of bugs and leaves, and I was learning about detail on leaves and the light, how it hits it, and that was one big learning like curve to sort of like notice detail, I guess, which I'm still, you know, still learning about.
Yeah, that's really cool. And just seeing like the Instagram, like you mentioned that that was a focus for you, but seeing the followers grow into like what, like 30,000, like how many do you have now?
Now's 30, yeah. It's just gone over 30. Crazy, like stupid. That's, that's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
And but I mean, there's people with millions, and I'm like, and because when you get to like, I just hit 30,000, because I've sort of, it's sort of just like, it's a slow process, and you got to, you know, you've got to post a lot, and you've got to be, you've got to be active on Instagram. It's
but you would have had to learn about like the that side of it, like the marketing side of, of photography as well, and how you got to put it out there and your hashtags and that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, hashtags is huge. People are like, you know, in the beginning, I remember years ago, people were like, oh, don't hashtag stuff. It looks, you know, it looks corny. Like, it doesn't look right. Like, but you're like, okay, like, don't you want to reach further than your audience you have? And that's how you grow. Why they have hashtags? Because you want to look at ocean stuff. So you hashtag ocean. So you go and search hashtag ocean to look at photos of ocean. Yeah. And that's where your photo is.
And I remember another time with the Standard when I was working at the newspaper, we went and talked to you about a photo that you had taken of, was it wind farm? Or, and the premier of the state, Daniel Andrews, shared it or something. And we went and talked to you about that. And I remember having a conversation with you and the photographer that came with me, because we actually took your photo in front of the computer. I think you put it on Facebook. And I remember having a conversation with you about like letting people use your photos.
And the
photographer I was with was giving you advice. Like, don't do it. Like, make people pay for it. Because you were, I guess you were getting to the point where you were putting a bit of time into it. And, like, you were asking him a few questions about the craft of it.
Because he's the pro. He's the one working for a paper.
That's right. And even though we were, like, using your photos in the newspaper, like, the lightning he was like,
what are you doing? Like, you want to get paid for this.
It's always something I talk to people about on this show. Like, when you're starting out, you kind of need to give stuff away for free. But then, I guess, you have to make a decision at a certain point, like... my time and my, you know, well, it's your time and your equipment are worth something and you need to start charging. And I guess you can talk about both that moment with the premier of our state and having to make those decisions.
Well, I guess that whole thing started out with like, and this is a classic, thing of, went to these wind farms and took this photo. One morning I woke up, I want to post something today, you know, like I want to, I don't know, got to put something on Instagram, classic, got to Insta it. And then, so I posted this photo, which I would never would have posted unless I had something else, and I posted it.
Like what, you'd taken it earlier?
Yeah, I took it like a week ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I just want to, you know, I just want to post something. So anyway, yeah, posted it. And I think it was like the day later, and I'm like, oh, you know, I've got inbox. Like, apart from my mates, like, you don't get inbox. I think at the time I had like 600 followers or something. And I, and it said Daniel Andrews MP or whatever it says. Anyway, so I opened it up and I was just like, the hell's this? I thought it was a scam. I thought it was like a fake account. I was like, and it said, hey, you know, we love your wind farm photo. We'd like to use it for, I think it was like a campaign to do with
energy solar or energy. Something.
I replied to him and I was just like, yeah, it's sweet. Like, what can I lose by saying, you know, like I'm no one. I just took a photo of a wind farm. I'm like, yeah, for sure. You know, definitely use that. I was like, I'm so stoked you've seen it. Like, and you know, it's, there's a lot of, when you hashtag wind farms, there's a lot of people that have put photos in wind farms. Anyway, so I was just like, that's pretty cool. It was like picked out of the bunch. And then, yeah, and then it sort of rolled into that happening. And they put it as their, like, their timeline, what's it called? Timeline photo,
cover photo,
whatever you call it, on Facebook. And then I got like, my followers just grew. Like, I got a couple thousand followers. Yeah, it was nuts. And then... yeah, and then you guys contact me. Standard. And it was like, wait, hang on.
And as far as like making people pay for them, was that something where you from then started to think about it a bit more? Because you probably could have squeezed some money out of the premiere and
if you
really wanted to, but...
Well, I had heaps of people around me saying, oh, how much did you get? And, you know, like, what are you going to charge and all that? And I was just like, I'm like, what do you mean? I'd pay to have, you know, I'd pay to have this. Like, you know... And at the time, like, anything's good. Yeah. Like,
and there comes a point where that flips.
Yeah. And I didn't know anything about this sort of stuff. Like, it was at the beginning of people, brands, wanting to use, you know, your photos, which is, I'd never even thought. never really thought that to be a thing. I thought I'd just sell prints and that's it. I still stand by the whole, you know, like, you look at the exchange and, you know, if someone wants something from you, you know, if it looks like it's going to benefit you as well, like, just give it to them.
So, how do you make that decision though? Like, because I imagine that there are people that might say, can you come take some photos and you'll get exposure? Like, and that's something you hear all the time.
That's a classic response from companies. Yeah.
And I know you're probably you're in the photography community now. So you probably see these kinds memes so about much. It and like all the kinds of like blog articles and people are probably really opinionated about it too.
Yeah. Well, you got heaps of people that are still starting out doing photography. And there's some freaks out there that are just starting. And you're like, how the hell are you taking these shots and you've only been, you know, shooting for a year? But I guess because like tutorials and stuff now, like there's a lot more that, you know, you can learn in a short period of time. Yeah. So, but anyway, these kids are going out and they're quite happy to be given it because they're getting exposure and the companies are saying, you know, it's a good exposure. And yeah, it is. And every time you get that one kid doing it, that's a mass of these kids getting free exposure because they're getting their thing used, you know, a photo used or music or whatever you do. So there's always going to be that battle. Like there will always be that. But for me to like, I guess it got to a point where like, I think once you grow bigger and more people see you, more people, like people start seeing, you know, a photo they might want to use for like a cafe or something. Yeah. Like, oh, can we use this? You know, put your name on it. And it's sort of like, I don't know, you start putting, because you put time and effort into it, you start putting value on your own work and you kind of start being like, nah, it's, you know, I think it's worth more than that.
Yeah.
That's
good. That's like, you should, like, I think that's a struggle a lot of people have is like valuing themselves because they, like, even if it's someone who draws or whatever it is, like, they have to get to a point where they're like, no, like, my time is valuable, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the whole Daniel Andrews thing. That was insane. Like, that actually was... That was this little start to be like, you know, it was just getting recognized for taking a photo. Like, I don't know, it just feels like it just doesn't happen that often. Not around you anyway, like, and for it to happen to you, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. And so when did all the travel kind of start to come in? Was that something that you, because you already love traveling, that you just kind of incorporated? Or did you start to travel specifically to take photos? Because there's been some really amazing stuff you've shot, whether it's in New Zealand or elsewhere, like...
Travel came into it. I'd actually traveled a lot before I really got into photography. Like I've been to Canada and Europe, both of those a couple of times, in America and New Zealand. I hadn't had a camera, like a proper camera. And then taking photos around like the Great Ocean Road and stuff like that. And once I'd sort of done that, I was like, geez, I'm hungry, you know, like I want to get out and, you know, take some more shots of just, not even that. I just want to see the world and enjoy it in a way that,
yeah,
I can now because I can actually, I don't know, I feel like I can visualize and see things better and I can just absorb it, but I want to have my camera with me. But I mean, even before all that, like it was still the learning process of how do I take the proper photo? And I had these, I would see something and I'd take it, you know, on my camera that I brought at the time, which was like just the basic DSLR and it wouldn't be right. Like it'd be grainy. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, is it me? So I eventually ended up selling that basic camera and getting the Nikon D750, and that thing was just insane. Like I take a photo and there's no grain. I'm like, oh, it's just the camera I was using. Like it just, I didn't realize that a full frame camera, which is the D750 at the time, I didn't realize how much improvement you can get from a full frame camera. And and at the time I was like, well, who do I go with? Like, what companies? There's heaps of companies and camera companies. And this was a huge decision that like determined a lot of things that have happened now. Yeah, so I end up going with Nikon just because like the dynamic range is unreal. And the color in that is just incredible. So went with them, brought one of those cameras and using that for probably a year. And then I kept thinking more and more, like, oh, I just want to go overseas and take photos. And, you know, but it's all money. It costs money. I'm like, well, maybe one day I'll have a job doing this and I'll be able to do that. Yeah, one day I went down along the coast to shoot these big waves that come across the Great Ocean Road. And I was down along there and all day shooting all these big waves. And I was just like blown away by how big these waves can get. And ended up all the way down in Lawn. And I'd only been in Lawn a couple of times, pretty late. And I'm like, oh, I might shoot some Astro from Teddy's Lookout. So I ended up driving up to Teddy's Lookout. Yeah, parking there and walking down. It's pitch black. Walk down to the lookout and you look out and there's just the ocean. and you can see like this piece of coast that sort of juts out and the road goes around it. Anyway, so I was up there and had the camera set up and I started taking some photos and getting the settings right and all that. And then I wanted to get, you know, the car lights just going around because with a long exposure, it just has this light. And then, I don't know, like 15 minutes in, I took another shot and I looked in it. I'm like, what the? And there was this purple like glow. And I was like, is there an aurora tonight? Because there's apps and that you can use to see when there's an aurora. And after that first aurora I saw, you know, a year ago, I'd been onto it. Like, I'm like, I want to see any aurora I can. Like, yeah, I seen it in there. I was like, no way there's an aurora. So I fired like a few more shots off. And then it sort of just phased out. And I went back through the photos and I'm looking at it going, holy shit, you know, like there's an aurora. And I've got like a car trail, like car lights trail going around it. And I was like, that is unreal. Like, I didn't know you could get it from this angle. Yeah, I got home and looked on the computer. I was like, whoa. So I ended up posting it on Instagram the next day. And then from that, it's probably from that photo, a lot of things just started rolling. Yeah, it just went nuts. Like I had one of the journalists from the Herald Sun contact me.
Wow.
And they were just like, she was just like, hey, we saw your photo and everyone in the room loves it. I'm like, you saw my photo? Like, what the hell? And then I realized it actually got shared on Facebook. It was Humans in Melbourne, so it's a big Facebook page. They shared it and I think, I don't know, maybe they saw it from that or whatever. And yeah, they were like, yeah, we want to run it. We want to put it in the paper. And I was like, what? Serious? Like, that's unreal. Like in the paper, they're like, oh, we don't know. Like, you know, there could be a world catastrophic event. A comet could hit the earth and you won't get in the paper. But yeah, so I was like, cool. So anyway, they called me back and they called me up and I did an interview. It was strange. It was weird. And then it was like 2 days later, I woke up, my inbox on my Facebook was flooded. And I was like, what the hell? And I opened it up and it was a picture of it on the third page. So it's like, it's like the second front page.
Yeah.
And it was like full. It was just sitting there. And I was like, holy no what? And I was like, what the hell? So I was like, jumped out of bed, ran down to like the local milk bar. And I went in there and like, I've just opened it up and I'm like, you're joking me. Like, what the hell?
With your name and everything.
Yeah, with my name on it. And it's just crazy.
Mm.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. So I brought all the copies. Yeah. Okay, I brought every copy.
Framed.
Yeah, they're framed.
Got it next to your lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. That's awesome. Yeah. So from there, like, it sounds like you've had some amazing opportunities to work with like big companies. I think last week you were like Microsoft or something. Like, I'm guessing the Herald Sun thing was kind of as much as there's been a lot of big moments along the way, it might have been the one that got you onto the radar of like the companies.
Yeah, and
that
definitely. Kind of thing. Yeah, so from the Herald Sun, that sort of rolled into other things that rolled into other things. Right. Sort of just, you know, it's like a waterfall effect.
Yeah.
Not long after that, one of the marketing guys from Nikon contacted me, inboxed me, was like, hey, you know, I've been looking at your stuff and I love your work. I saw that photo that you took of the aurora at Teddy's Lookout. You know, we've got an event coming up in Sydney. Would you like to be, you know, would you like to come to it? I got that email. Oh, I got that inbox. And I was like, what? And I'm like, no. And I looked at like this dude's account and I'm like, it looks like a legit guy. Yeah. I'm like, well, I've got two kidneys. If I go to this thing, if I lose one, it was worth trying. Yeah, so day came, flew out, landed in Sydney, got a hire car and just sort of cruised around for a bit until it started. It started at 12 and then I ended up getting to, I think it was like a Red Bull Convention Center or something. Ended up getting there and there's not really many people around. I'm sort of like, I've been stung. This dude's like done a really good invitation and he sent it to me. And I was just like, I'm going to get robbed. So anyway, I went to this door, opened it up and saw this big Nikon logo and it was glowing and this lady came up to me and she goes, oh, hey, how you doing? And I was like, yeah, good, thanks. She goes, oh, you here really? I'm like, oh, am I? I'm like, oh, I didn't know what to say. Like, I was like, I didn't know this was a thing. And it is a thing. It's real. I'm not dreaming of it.
You went all that way not knowing if it was real.
Yeah, it was sort of like, I mean, they sent an invitation and it seemed real, but I just still didn't really... It's like one of those things.
Is it like an imposter syndrome? Like you think like there must be a mistake?
I'm not here. This isn't like this hasn't happened to me.
Yeah.
I see this, you know, happen to somebody else. Yeah, I walked in the door and the lady came up to me and she goes, "Oh, Josh Beams," and I was just like, "Oh," I'm like, "Oh, no worries. Oh, that's pretty nice." Probably the hair. My hair's a dead giveaway. She's like, "Hey, yeah, I was, you know, glad you can make it. there's one of your, like, there's a waiter over there, and you know, he'll look after you. And I was just like, really? And I'm like, okay, no worries. And so I went over there and got a beer, and then just went and sat at so it was set out really nice, like real fancy, these big Nikon logo and projections on the wall, and it was like dim lit, like it was really nice. And I'm sort of looking around, there's sort of like these curtains that you could kind of see through, and you could see other part sections, but it was all closed off. And I was sort of like, just like, what is this? Like, I know they were releasing something at the time. I'm pretty sure I wasn't sure at the time of what it was.
So it was a bit of secrecy around.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And so I was sitting there, and people started rocking up, and I just, you know, got up, went and chatted to random people. And it was like one other dude that was from Torquay, and he looked like me. He's just like some dude just with all these other guys that were rocking up in suits and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is interesting. I went to him, I'm like, man, what is this? And he goes, oh, they're releasing, I think they're releasing a new camera. Like, and I'm like, all right. Yeah. I figured it'd be something like that. You know, like one of the guys coming, he goes, hey guys, you know, thanks for coming, come through to this other section. And you know, we'll tell you what we've been up to or whatever. So we went into this other section and had like sort of a stage, and we sat in there, and it wasn't many of us, probably 30 of us, but it was a big stage, so it looked like there must be more people at other times or something. So I was like, okay, sat there, and there was like a wedding photographer, his name's Rocco, he's like a freak, he's unreal. And then one of the top dudes from Nikon got up and talked about the D850, which is this, you know, camera got released, I think it was the end of 2016. Yeah, and we just were blown away by it, like how good this thing was. And I was sitting there looking around going, what the hell am I doing here? Like, this is unreal. This is incredible. And at the time, I actually just got back from New Zealand. So I'm looking at the camera and I'm like, geez, you know, like I would love to take this back because it does time lapse and it does it does a lot of things, like in 8K, which is pretty impressive. And then they're like, look, we want to give you a camera for a bit and see how you go. Like, yeah, see what you can do with it. I'm like, what? And they're just like, yeah, you know. After that, I think it was like a month. And then I got an email saying, what's your address? We'll send you some documents, whatever. And anyway, so I got the camera and a lens. And I was like, whoa. You know, what are they, $5,000 or whatever they are? And it's just been released, like just been released when I actually got it. Yeah, I had it for 3 months. And I was like, I need to have a good crack at this. Yeah. Like, I want to do things with it that can show this, you know, the ability of this camera, the functions of it. And so I went off with it, and there was actually a storm that come through Port Fairy, and I had my big 70-200 f2.8 lens on this D850, and I set the camera up pretty much on top of my car trying to track these bolts that were coming past this lighthouse, and I sat there for like half an hour just hoping that it was going to eventually go behind the lighthouse so I could get a photo of the lighthouse and the lightning bolt. And it started to like really slow down. There wasn't many bolts coming through. Next thing, bang, this bolt come, just like hit, crack. And I looked at the back of the camera and it's just got the lighthouse, which is like, I don't know, like 3 mil. It looks like a 3 mil lighthouse with this massive, perfect bolt. It was just insane. And I was like, yes, look, this is what I wanted, you know? I want to be able to, I don't know, show that I get out there and, I don't know, get a photo with this camera and show what it can do, because... Yeah. Yeah, with a shot like that, I wanted to see what it was like to sort of crop in a little bit, because it's got like 45.7 megapixels, so it's huge. So you think of your phone, it's like 4 times your phone. Yeah, so I ended up getting that and a few other different shots. Like, and then toward the end of it, the end of like the loan when I had to give it back, I was like, I really want to go somewhere with this. And it was the Friday before New Year's. And I was like, you know what? Like, I just want to go somewhere. Like, I want to take this camera somewhere for a day. I'm like, I just want to get away anyway. Like, I just want to do something. So it was lunchtime and I jumped on the computer and I had a look. And I'm like, all right, Jetstar, what am I doing? I'm looking around on Jetstar and I'm like, I didn't know they fly to Uluru. Like, what the hell? And I'm like, Uluru. I'm like, yeah, done. So I just went and booked Uluru for one day. So the next day, that night, Friday night, I stayed at a mate's, drove down to Melbourne, flew out in the morning at 9. I think I got into Uluru at like 10 a.m. because you sort of go backwards in time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got there and I was like, righto, I've got the whole day here. Like, I need to make this worth it. So I went out all day just shooting and just enjoying it. And then that night, I shot some Astro and I slept in the car. Don't do that. slept in the car, and then I ended up catching the flight out the next morning, and then like going back to Melbourne and having New Year's Eve with my mates on the Yarra. And like I'm walking around like looking at my shoes, because there's dirt on all the road, like there's like desert dirt in my shoes, and I'm pointing, yeah. I'm like, I got dirty shoes, and I'm just like, no, I was in Uluru, yeah. But yeah, I ended up getting home and posting that photo, and there was a photo of Uluru with the Astro, and there's these like cool as like wildflowers, these pinky purple wildflowers that sort of lit by moonlight, and yeah, and Nikon saw it, and they ended up sharing it on their Instagram and a few of the other shots, and then it pretty much went from that to them wanting to do an article on their website. It's on My Nikon Life, so they have featured, you know, photographers from heaps of different types of fields. So yeah, so they did an interview with me, and yeah, it did a pretty cool piece on like me with a camera and, you know, showing what it can do.
Yeah, that's cool. So like whether it was your intention or not, it sounds like it's like one big photo and viral kind of post after another, building up until,
yeah,
you know, you get more recognition, then you get invited to an event, you get to use a better camera that leads to a better photo.
Yeah, it's steps. Yeah. And I think the thing that helped too, because that whole time, all I wanted to do was progress and learn and grow and be better than, like, I take a photo and post, I'm like, oh, I can do better than that. Like, you know.
And is it better for yourself, or is it better because you want to build your social media? Like, what's been the motivation? Bit of everything?
Yeah, it's everything. Yeah. It's the whole core of it is the enjoyment of it. And just to, you know, to take photos and to show other people what I'm looking at. I don't know, what I'm enjoying, what I'm going out and seeing, and like to be able to share that. Yeah, it's sort of that fuels it. And then because you don't know what's coming next, so it's kind of like, I'll just keep rolling, and, you know, and, you know, mightn't have anything pop up for ages, and then something will come up like the Nikon thing.
Yeah, that's cool. A photo is like a powerful thing, because you can post a photo that can make someone go, where's that?
Yeah.
I want to go there.
Yeah, well, I'm like it on Instagram, and I see other people's stuff, and I'm like, what the hell? Where is this?
And then they book a holiday, and then they have like a whole experience in this place, and they might meet people or whatever it is, and it's all because of a photo. So it's really cool how that can happen.
Yeah, and I guess like actually like, well, Instagram over time building and building and building and trying to get better and looking at my old stuff going, oh, you know, I hate that. I don't want to look at that anymore. Like, I want to be
the iPhone stuff.
The iPhone stuff, GoPro stuff, and then and then it led into the basic DSLR, and then I continue to try and grow. I'm always trying to learn and grow and be better than yesterday, and it's good for the brain, I think.
Yeah.
And it keeps me active. Like I'm always out there. That's right. Like I'm never home. Me and my girlfriend, like I brought a car. So we had a car accident, when was it? September, I think it was. And it was a head-on with another four-wheel drive, just on the Gradation Road. And it was like, it was brutal. It totaled the car. It wasn't my fault, it was their fault.
You look all right.
Yeah. Do I?
you got out of it. Unscathed.
Unscathed, yeah. Nah, we were lucky with that. So, totaled the car, ended up getting another car. But yeah, I've had the car for 3 months and I put 18,000 Ks on it. So, I'm never home. Always out there. Always trying to explore and just enjoy what's around us here, like
getting rained on a lot,
going to storms, yeah, all that.
There was a photo you put up pretty recently where there was a wave and like shining blue light through. Tell me about that one, because that looked
everyone says crazy. It like that shining blue light. the lightning lighted up. Yeah, so I took a lightning shot recently and it had, I don't know if anyone's heard of it. It's called bioluminescence. So it's an algae that when you disturb, it glows. And I'd seen it like in some posts, in some photos, I don't know, over the last couple of years. And I'm like, what, really? Like, does that exist? Like, it looks like glowworms, but in the water, or fireflies or something. And I'd seen it on Facebook, and it sort of ignited that thought of it. And I was like, that's right. I saw, you know, I've seen this before, and but it's, I don't know, it's been in America or something, wherever it was. But at that time when I saw it on Facebook, it was in Tasmania. And I was like, geez, I could fly down in Tasmania. I'd love to like just see this. Like, I don't even know how easy it would be to take it on a photo. I'd just love to experience it, because it's just so strange. Like, nature is incredible. Yeah, and then within like a week, I was on Facebook and I saw some, like, I think it was like Destination Lawn or Gradation Road or whatever post, that this algae had been sighted floating on the water, because it's this red, gooey-looking substance. Floating on the water, attached below that were some people that actually took shots of the glowing water at night. And I was like, what? I'm like, geez, I want to get there for that. That'd be so cool. Like, so I messaged my girlfriend. I was like, look, there's these bioluminescence, and you know, like I really want to see it. Like,
she's just so like, cool. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I'm like, do you want to go? Like, it'd be so sweet. And she's like, really cruisy. She's like, yeah, like, and she's always keen to explore. I went out chasing a storm with a couple other photographers from town, and we were pretty bummed. We didn't get anything. Like, it was just this really high cloud, and just didn't. There was no lightning or anything. And on the way back, I was just sort of like, damn it, like, I really want to get a storm. You know, I haven't chased a storm for ages. It was fun, but you know, I didn't get a bolt or anything. And I was almost home, and it sort of popped in my head, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right, the bioluminescence is in the lawn. I'm like, oh well, I'll call TJ. And so I called TJ, and I was like, you know, like, let's go to lawn tonight. She's like, yeah, okay, cool. So we changed our plans, and I got home like pretty much when she got home, and I picked her up and got to lawn, and well, they're pretty early, so I got the drone up. I was just flying it around, and a couple of guys come over. Well, yeah, a group come over, and they were there for the same thing. They were from Melbourne. Well, like, yeah, you know, like, we're talking about, we're trying to work out where it could be, and we're looking up the coast, and it was still light. Like, we obviously can't see anything yet, so we're sort of just mapping out where it could be. And it was getting dark, and I said to TJ, I'm like, oh, we probably should head off and, you know, try and find this. And this other couple were like, oh, you know, we're going to head off as well. And they just gave us our number. We exchanged numbers just in case whoever saw it, let us know. Yeah, so we went up to the car, drove down the coast, and we kept looking out the window, and it was dark by this time, and we're looking out, and there was just nothing. It was just like waves, and it was kind of calm, but yeah, it was just waves. And we got about 5 minutes out of lawn toward Melbourne, and we came around this big bend, and right around this big bend, we look down over the ocean, and there's this wave peeling, and it's just glowing blue. Yeah, like glow stick blue, like blue,
yeah.
Lightning blue, electric blue,
yeah.
Blue. Yeah, and we're just like, I'm like, holy shit, like, what the hell? And like, my girlfriend's like out the roof, and TJ's like, what? And we're just like foaming over this, like, this glow in the water. And we just come around this, like, into this park, and we pulled in, we just like ran out of the car. We're just like, I got my hand on my face, just like, what the hell? And it's just, yeah, it's just this blue glow in the water, like these little electric shocks going off. And we just couldn't believe it. And I'm like, oh God, I want to find somebody to be able to take a photo of this. And it was kind of out pretty far, as on like the back waves. So we jumped, like, ran back to the car, and we drove down a little further, and we still see it was whole glowing in this whole section. So we just pulled up at this sort of in the middle of this beach, and just sort of like jumped out of the car and ran down. And yeah, we just stood there watching these waves just break, and it was just like glowing blue. You got to YouTube this thing. Like, it is insane. And it's the color that you see on YouTube. I always thought it would just be, you know, blown out blue, and it's not really how it looks.
It's like superhero electric powers blue.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's like that. It's exactly like that. So yeah, we sat there and we just watched it, and I had my camera bag and all that, so I set it up, and I was just taking photos, and it was just like this line of blue sort of with the waves. And next thing, like, we see, I see out on the horizon, I see this little bolt come down. I was like, no way. Like, the storm's like, because it's stormy, but we didn't see lightning all day, so it wasn't even my thought process. I see this bolt. I was like, did you see that? She's like, no. Nah. And then it happened again. She goes, oh, what? And then I was like, it'd be cool if I get, you know, lightning and bioluminescence. That'd be unreal. And then within 10 minutes, like, this big bolt struck down right to our left. And I turned the camera. I'm like, oh, God, I hope it happens again. Like, it'd be so cool. And it didn't happen. So I'm like, all right. So I tilted it back straight at looking out to the ocean. And then, yeah, this storm from, like, well, part of the storm on our right started to go off. And it just started to creep slowly across, and it was just like coming into frame. So I got a few shots of it coming into frame, and it sort of, you know, and I was trying to get my settings right, because to balance it all out was kind of difficult. And I was trying to focus it, the actual camera, on like a lighthouse, and, you know, trying to get it all right. And then, yeah, this bang, this lightning bolt just struck down right, you know, just in front of us. And the waves had been glowing, you know, the whole time. And I was just like, holy shit, you know, like, what the hell? This is incredible. Like, and after that, I sort of took a couple more, and we just stood there and just enjoyed the next 20 minutes of this show, this lighting show. And it was just insane. And then, yeah, I got to the car and got home and got on the computer, and I just looked at him, and I was just like,
you got it.
You're joking. Like, yeah. What the hell? And then the next morning I woke up, and I had it on my phone, like, to post it. And I showed my girlfriend. I was like, do you reckon, like, can you see the blue? And she's like, what do you mean, can you see the blue? She goes, of course you can see the blue. I'm like, well, people understand, like, because it's, you, I didn't really know much about it. And, and I was like, well, you know, I'll try and explain the best I can. And yeah, posted it and yeah, it just went crazy. It was insane.
It's so cool because it's so close to where you've grown up.
Yeah.
And I've never seen it before. That's really cool.
It's just crazy.
And I love that, like, you've got all these shots and every one of them has a story behind it like that. That's a really cool part of it.
Yeah. There's one more shot that was like probably another one that just blew me away. I was visiting the folks in Tasmania, the parents in Tasmania. It was like the second last day and I looked at the aurora forecast and it said that, you know, there's potential to be one tomorrow night. And I was just like, perfect, because Tasmania is like the best to experience the aurora australis. Yeah. So I sort of looked at the weather and it's going to be cloudy. I'm like, I could just stay and risk it and hopefully the cloud opens up. And, you know, because it's really intense down there when it's this type of, you know, this level. Anyway, so I was like, I'm going to stay a couple more days and try and capture this from the shore. Anyway, the weather closed in that night and I was just like, look, I'm just going to keep the flight. So I ended up keeping the flight. Got to the airport and jumped on the plane. I thought, I wonder if you can see it from the plane because it's going to be super strong. Like there's, you know, there's so much cloud and all that and we'll be above that. I was like, well, I don't know. Like, hopefully I've got the window seat. So like got on the plane and yeah, window seat. And I'm like, hopefully it's on the left side of the plane. It was on the left side of the plane. So I took a seat and we took off and it was pouring out rain. And we broke through the cloud and I looked out and there's still a little bit of sunset on the horizon. So you couldn't really see much. And I'm looking as far south as I could because the plane's sort of going off on that, you know, that sort of angle. So I looked out there. I sort of had the shade half down because I was like, I don't want to get excited. Because what, you know, like, just, we'll see. So I'm sitting there and I pulled my camera out and I put my lens on because I usually always have my camera with me. I opened up the shade and I sort of looked out. I could see this like slight glow on the horizon, like just with my eye. And I'm like, well, all right, I've got my... I think I had a 14 mil on my camera, so it's super wide. So I was like, all right, if I push it up against the glass and just keep it steady, the plane, like there's no turbulence, so the plane was pretty still and it's super wide. So any movement, you can barely notice it. So I did like a 3 or 4 second exposure at a really high ISO. And I've like took like 5 shots and then I, you know, pulled the camera down. It was just blurry. I couldn't see anything. So I'm like, oh, damn it. So I must've knocked it when I put it against the glass, did it again. It's fired off a few shots. I looked down and there's just this green, purple, like band of color in the sky with like the hint of a sunset. And I was sitting there just shaking, like, you are joking, looking around the plane. No one knows what's going on. Yeah. Like, they're just, everyone's just sitting there, you know, eating.
Watching Modern Family.
Yeah, watching Modern Family, exactly. And then I leaned across to this chick that was next to me. I was just like, this is happening right now. And she's just like, she looked at me really weird, like, this guy with red dreadlocks, just like, too excited. Too excited. Anyway, I had the camera there and I showed her and she's like, no way, no way. She's like American or something. That's the worst American accent. No way. It's like Canadian. Anyway, so she looked at the camera, she's like, what? And then I was like, yeah, do you want to come down and have a look? She's like, she's trying to reach over and she could just see the edge of like the glow of what I was sort of saying. And I'm like, yeah, that's like the furthest way down. So she reached over more, like she leaned over more and she could just see what I could see, which is probably half what the camera could see double of what we could because it was wider lens. And she's just like jumping it, like she's like, what? And I'm just like, yeah. I'm like, what the hell? So I'm like, I went back up there because in the first few shots, there was like reflection from inside the cabin. So the next shot, I went up and put my jacket over and I like took a couple of shots and blacked it all out. And anyway, yeah, so that shot was just insane. That was like a classic example of just like, it ended up being kind of gut feeling. Like, I mean, it could have cleared up a little bit in Tassie and I could have shot it from the ground and all that. But yeah, just... right time, right place, and it was just insane. And
it was like the plane landed, and you're like, "Well, I already got the shot."
Plane so landed, and I was just like, "This is ridiculous." I was like, "Oh, what the hell!" Like, and only like a year or so before that, I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
Let alone getting a shot out of a plane.
That's cool,
which was pretty cool.
That's rad, man. And when was the decision? Like, I know recently you've like launched a website, which is really cool. You've made it very official that you're a photographer now. You've got wedding business, you know, you're selling prints. When did you say, I'm not going to work in a shop in retail anymore, I'm just going to do this because that's going to make me money and I'm going to be happy doing it?
Well, it was over a period of months. I sort of just was like, my mind was just in photography.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much, I just sort of like mentally pulled back and I was like, nah, I need to take this on, you know? And it all just came to a point that I was like, right, let's do it. Built the website. Yeah, I've got 8 or 9 weddings. I think I've got 9 this year coming. Oh, well, this summer.
Cool. Congrats on the business. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What would you say has been the hardest point of getting to here? Because you've mentioned a lot of things you've had to overcome, whether it's like not being happy with your gear, not understanding how to use your gear, then not believing in yourself necessarily to how other people see you. Yeah. So what's been the hardest thing?
The hardest thing is probably self-belief, I reckon. These things happen, they're coming along and like, you know, you get recognized by certain people and companies and that. And but it's still the whole, I don't know, am I good enough? Like, is it really, you know, I don't know. Like, I always doubt myself. But I think that's also kind of a fuel because it's like, no, well, I need to be better. So it pushes me to be better and I just try new things.
There's so many people who've been doing this their whole life, basically. It's like their whole adult life or whatever it is, and they might have gone to university to do what you're doing, but you taught yourself how to do it, and you can like literally go, I don't know if you've deleted stuff, but you can go back and look through your social media feed and be like, you can literally see the progression over years, which pretty cool.
And I like to leave that there because I like to look back at it and be like, oh yeah, that's cool. Like it's cool to see, you know, where I once was, and I was trying to be, you know, trying to do different photos, and I was trying to do different perspectives and stuff. But and it's good to see now that I'm still trying to do the same thing, but I don't know, I've just definitely gotten better with it.
And it's cool to see like your whatever skill level you're at, it doesn't really like you don't have to have certain equipment or certain things to do well, because even going back to the stuff you're doing on the iPhone at that time, like you were getting really
get recognized.
Yeah, like you were getting
For sure. And especially now with phone cameras, like
You were getting the same buzz relative to where you were at that point.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's still the same, you know, fun factor.
Yeah.
It's just now you can sort of just go to, you can do, I don't know, you take photos in different environments and like night, and it's incredible.
So what's your advice to people who want to be landscape photographers that maybe they're way back at that starting point you were at where they're just taking photos on their iPhone and they don't know how to get it recognized, or they want to build up to use better equipment and that kind of thing?
The best thing you can do is obviously find the style of, if you're doing photography, find the style of photography you want to do, you know, have a go at it. It's not going to happen straight away to like learn it and, you know, be happy with it. You'll probably never be happy with it. I'm still not entirely happy with my photos, but.
Yeah. And there must be nights where you go out and you go home and you're like, I didn't get anything.
Man. And so people like, there's been shots that I've shot over the period of time that, they're like, how are you there for that, you know, that thing, you know, that moment? And I was like, yeah, it's because I'm always out. Like, there's the 1,000 times I've gone out in between those shots that you get nothing.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, having that drive to enjoy nature and to get out there and you know, experience different environments and be there, you're going to be there to take the photo.
Yeah.
If you're there mentally as well.
So people need patience as well.
Yeah.
Big thing.
Patience is huge.
Yeah. Now, my last question for you, Beamsy. If you could do anything and know that you wouldn't fail, what would you do?
If I could do anything and know that I couldn't fail, what would I do? You know, when you're a kid, and you jump off, like the, I don't know, the barbecue set to try and fly.
Yeah.
That, but not fail, to fly.
Just around the backyard.
Yeah, just around the backyard, because I don't know how long this no fail lasts for. I don't know, it's probably, flight.
Fly.
I'd love to fly, man. That'd be so good. Well, as a kid.
You want to take photos?
As a kid, I did flying lessons.
Yeah. You did too, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
You remember that?
Can you still fly?
If it came to like the end of the world situation, I probably could. I'd remember a few things.
If a plane's going down, does anyone know how to fly?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about taking photos from, you know, getting a plane up, chartering the plane?
Doing it like that. Well, I've got a drone now, so.
Yeah. Getting into that.
Yeah, I love my drone. It's amazing to see a different perspective of the planet. It's crazy.
If we can apply that question to like photography, is there like one place or one event that you wish you could photograph? Or capture like a moment that's really hard to get?
Yeah. There's even just a few sunsets like that from the air, because it reflects on the water so well.
Yeah.
From the air would just be, yeah. There's a few sunsets that, yeah, that I've shot from the ground that I'd like to shoot in the sky, but otherwise, that's hard because when you get a drone up, it's a completely different world. Like it's, you could live somewhere for 20 years like I have and all 30 years and it's just, it's when you get a drone up, it's a completely different place. It's really cool. And I think that's a bit, one of the best things about owning a drone is new perspective. And that feeling of flight, the feeling of being the kid that wants to jump off and off a barbecue, not fail at flying.
Nice, well, thanks for coming all the way up to Geelong and chatting and sharing your stories.
It's all right.
Been really cool to just slowly watch the, you know, hobby turn into a career. And now that it's full time, the sky's the limit, I think. Thanks, quite literally.
We'll see.
Thank you for listening, and thanks to Audio Technica. That was Josh Beams, who you can find on Instagram at Josh Beams, B-E-A-M-E-S. His website is joshbeams.com, and his Facebook is Josh Beams Photography. If you enjoyed the podcast, it would be awesome if you could leave an iTunes review or a 5-star rating. It goes a long way to helping the show, getting the word out there. All of that over at 8bit.net/PIW. That's A-T-E-B-I-T. And that is where you can find the rest of the awesome podcast content from the 8-Bit Collective. If you'd like to follow me, I'm on social media at Jono himself. And until next week, keep putting in work.